Thank you, Poors and Hammerstroms. Appreciate that. Romans 7, this passage is a passage that has confounded a lot of folks the first time they read it. In fact, the wording is, we noticed as we were reading it a while ago, some even Tim messed up. But it just doesn't read easy. And I got news for you. It's not easy. It just isn't easy. It is, but it's the truth. It is the truth about us. And certainly one of the toughest passages in Scripture, but one that I use often in counseling, because if you really want to do right, you got to look at this passage, because this passage helps you understand why you don't. It just helps you understand why sometimes you just don't do what you're supposed to do. And it deals, I think, with one of the biggest frustrations. I get saved, and then I'm on fire for God. I get baptized. I'm on fire for God. I go to church. I'm on fire for God. And next thing I know, I'm doing some of the same stupid things that I was doing before. And why do I do that? What is it? And again, you say, boy, am I the only one? No, you're among all of us. And one of the refreshing things to me when I finally understood this passage was the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is the one who, obviously, God gave him the words, but it was on his heart. The same thing. Everything that he says, that which I do, I allow not, for what I would, that do I not, what I hate, that do I. That sounds like my day. That sounds like my week. That sounds like my life. And it probably kind of reminds you of you, if you really are honest. And I want to talk to you about, I've pulled out three words out of verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh. In my flesh. You understand, you got saved, but you still have flesh. You got saved, but you still are a sinner. Your sins, praise God, when you get saved, they're forgiven. They are blotted out from the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you get saved, you'll never have to face the wrath of God, but you are still flesh. Paul had to deal with it. Paul dealt with it, and he said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Dwelleth no good. Don't start thinking you're something. Don't start, well, you know, I'm the best Christian around. I've got everything under. Don't start thinking that, because Paul nailed it. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I want to talk to you about those three words, in my flesh. Father, bless the preaching. Thank you for the music. Thank you for a place to meet. And Lord, we just ask you now to speak to our hearts. If there's someone here today without Christ, please, God, help them to realize their need to be saved. Help them to see that they're a sinner. The Bible says we all are. And that you paid the price so they could be saved. And I pray they'd come to Christ and be saved today. And then I pray for Christians who certainly, the majority who are here today are saved people already. And yet they get frustrated with this old thing called our flesh. Please speak to us and help us today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, one of the toughest passages, the reading is kind of tough. And yet it's one of the most honest and helpful passages if you will just look at it and read it. Like I said, I use it very, very often in counsel. When somebody comes, they say, you know, I'm so frustrated. I want to do right, but I don't do right. And am I the only one like that? I hear that all the time. You're not the only one like that. We're all like that. It is a battle. You may not want to admit it, but it is a battle that goes on over and over and over and over again. And by the way, this is one of the most anti-humanistic passages in Scripture. All of a sudden you think, well, man is perfect. We are achieving, you know, we're the greatest thing and all this kind of stuff. And Paul just, he really tells it like it is. I know, verse 18, he said, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. About the time you think, you know what, I've arrived as a Christian. No. Let's go back to the Apostle Paul, who, by the way, he was a pretty good Christian. Would you admit? I mean, he's a preacher, and he had great things happen. Saw God work and used him in a great way, and saw the power of God on his life. But even he said, I know. He said, I know that in me. How did he know that? Well, because he lived with him. Guess what? You know you too. I know, he said. By the way, that would help you on this day. That would help you as much as anything is to really know who you are. To really know, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. He said, I know that. I know it. You see, verse 19, he says, for the good that I would, I do not. He said, I'm wanting to do good. My preacher gets up and he preaches the Word of God, and I want to do those things. I want to read my Bible. I want to pray. I want to be faithful to church. I want to do right. The good that I would, I do not. Does that sound like you? You know, you're all excited. You get on the altar. Oh, God, help me to do right. Help me to do what I'm supposed to do. Help me to tithe. Help me to come to church. Help me to read my Bible. You know, and all these things. And you get up and you say, wow, I'm ready to go. And the next morning, there's the devil. You know, but guess what else is there? That old nasty flesh. Yeah, there's your flesh. And what's it doing? It's trying to pull you back. You know, trying to pull you back. And that's exactly what he's talking about. He said this, verse 20, now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Why? Because I'm a sinner. In my flesh, he said. Now watch this. Every Christian who wants to do right, what do you mean? Notice verse 18. He says, I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. But watch what he says. For to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. He says, to will, I want to. Boy, there's a key right there. I want to. Do you know the people that deal with this more than anybody else are those who really want to do right. They really want to please God. They really want to obey what God says. It's to will. I want to. And when you really want to, you recognize the battle that is in your flesh. You really do. There are some folks, you'll get absolutely nothing out of this message. You know why? Because you're living to please your flesh. There are folks all over our community. I'm talking about in church, different church places, maybe sitting right here. You know, you live to please your flesh. You're not going to get this. You're not, because you don't want to please God. You please your flesh. But I'm talking to a group today that says, I do want to do right. I do want God to be pleased. I do want to hear him say, well done. I really do want to. Well, the battle then, and we're kind of in battle mode because Vacation Bible School, I don't know if you saw the advertising on the TV and not on your TV, not any channel or anything. Really? Wow, that was expensive. No. I'm talking about out here. It's not expensive when it's on our own. But it's about war. And I got news for you, folks. There is a war, and the biggest war you're going to fight is with you. And it is with your flesh. In my flesh. If you could recognize, and that's what I'm going to try to do. Tonight, I'm going to talk about getting victory over the flesh. But today, I just want you to in my flesh. Paul said, dwelleth no good thing. And notice what he said in verse 25. So then with the mind, that's what I'm going to choose, I myself serve the law of God. He said, I'm trying. I'm going to serve God. And I'm going to choose to serve God. But I'm always going to be pulled by my flesh. And so he says, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Let's look at those words. In my flesh, number one. In my flesh, I fail. I fail. Verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. What I hate, that do I. I hate it. Why in the world did I do it? I don't want to do it. Then why did I do it? It's our flesh. And in my flesh, I fail. Day after day after day, I fail. I preached on Wednesday on responsibility. I've been on a series talking about different responsibilities we have. And one of our responsibilities is to do whatever we can do. Do whatever you can do. But even then, how often do we fail? How often do we fail? In my flesh, I fail. You know, financial needs. And it seems like we ought to just be able to pray and God. And sometimes we just fail. Prayer for somebody. I think about myself and how my wife has had a headache all week long, and it's one of those right at the migraine level. I mean, it's just right on the edge of that. And I've been praying, and God's been waking me up different hours of the night, and I've just taken time and talked to God and prayed. And I think, you know, it seems like I could have that kind of a prayer life, that I could pray, and God would take away my wife's headache. And yet I fail in my flesh. You say, well, you ought to pray more. And I would. You ever fall asleep praying? It just always seems to me, and I think that's what Paul was feeling here, that I could do better. And yet I fail. I fail. My life verse is, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And I really believe that. And yet, that's my life verse, and I claim it over and over and over, and yet I fail. God, it seems to me, and I know this to be true, He deserves better than us failing. This week, I was thinking how I needed to be in several places. You ever try that? It's not possible. One of these days, we'll have the body of Christ, and He was everywhere all the time. And it amazes me when I think about it. The Bible says, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And I think about the time that His disciples were gathered together, and the Bible's very clear, He came to them, the door being shut. I love that. That's what I need. I need to be able to just go through walls and all kinds of things to get everything done, it seems. But you see, in my flesh, I fail. I think about Jesus, how He walked through the tomb walls before the stone was ever rolled away. Amen. But in my flesh, I fail. How about you? You ever fail? Day after day. I want to do right. But I don't. I want to do what God put on my heart to do, but I didn't do it. Oh, you had that money ready to give it, and all of a sudden somebody called and said, oh, by the way, you're going to have an extra expense on this. And you said, well, God told me to give, but, well, and you fail. You know, I try to do what I'm supposed to do, and I try to listen to what I'm supposed to listen to, and I try to be where I'm supposed to be, and I try to give what I'm supposed to give, and in my flesh, I fail. The Bible says about the widow and her mite, she hath done what she could. Just remember, that's God's requirement. God does know that we are flesh. God knows who you are. God knows everything. He was tempted in all points, such as we are. He knows the temptation. He knows. He just doesn't know how to fail because He never did fail. But He sure knows, and He understands our failure. In my flesh, I fail. Number two, in my flesh, I faint. I faint. Paul said this. He said, I press toward the mark. Paul said, I am ready. I mean, how many of us have been inspired reading the words of Paul as he goes on and he forges forward and he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, and I'm ready. I'm ready to die, he says. But yet, in verse 24, don't misunderstand Paul. Notice what he said in verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And I think Paul, as us, I think he recognized that he faints. He just, his body, as it got older and it suffered the infirmities that a body does, he recognized, oh my, who shall deliver me from this flesh? This body of death. Paul had eye problems, we believe. The Bible didn't exactly say that, but we have enough hints in the Scripture to understand that. And he talks about writing with a bigger letter and Of course, I have glaucoma, and I have my super giant print Bible here, and so I can under. But three times he went to the Lord. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul, a man that saw the power of God and the miracles of God, and three times he went to the Lord and he begged him to take away that infirmity. And Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Yeah. Yeah. Boy, you ever get frustrated with your body? In my flesh, I faint. Tired. Boy, this week we've had, you know, with the carpet and glue and dust, and Tuesday night with all that mess, and not only the dust, but just the nasty smell of work. And by Wednesday, my voice was just about gone. And I'm thinking, okay, I've got Wednesday night service to preach. We had the Shepherd's program yesterday, and it's going to be in the gym. And the sound, you think it's bad in here? It's in the gym. It's by far, it's a whole lot worse, very difficult. And I'm thinking, and I'm losing my voice. And I just, God, why don't you make this voice stronger? Why don't you, God, I'm so frustrated with this thing. We had to buy an asthma spray. I don't remember what the thing's called. $200. But breathing is convenient. And that's what my wife, she says. She says, "Honey, you're worth it." And I think, I don't know about that. And you know, you ever think about it? I mean, your body, then they just start to wear out. And it's in my flesh. I faint because my body is wore out. And you look at the brown spots and the wrinkles and the aches and the pains. And there's folks here that you can tell us that rain's coming before it ever comes. I know there's folks here, you know, well, my knee. Yep, going to rain, my knee. Going to rain, my shoulder. It's going to rain, you know. It's going to snow. Oh, that must be serious. But we know. And then you hear the sniffles. And you hear the sneezes. And the eyes are watering. And it's some allergy, some whatever it is out in the air that you have to go out into. And you say, "Why is my body doing this to me?" And the flu, that's never fun. Understand, Paul felt the same way. In my flesh, I faint. But you know, we can still rejoice in the Lord. And we can still praise the Lord. And Paul did. And he told us, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice." Whether your stomach hurts, whether your eyes are watering, whether your nose is running, whether your body is aching, no matter what it is, whether you're losing your voice, whether your eyesight is fading, whether your teeth are falling out, whether your hair's falling out, whatever it is, he says, it's okay. Rejoice in the Lord. I asked it a while ago. You ever fall asleep reading your Bible? Huh? I mean, you're reading your Bible oh God, I'm going to do this. I'm going to read my Bible tonight and I'm going to be a blessing. And boy, this is going to be good and I'm so excited. And wow, this is so... I guarantee every Christian who reads their Bible, there's somewhere in your Bible there's drool. Got to be. You say, "Wow, I thought I was the only one." No, you're not the only one. You're not the only one. In fact, if somebody reads their Bible faithfully and they read it a lot, there's just going to be times. And you know what it ought to do? It ought to remind you, in my flesh, I faint. Isn't it embarrassing to pray and fall asleep in the middle of your prayer? Don't you feel bad? Could you imagine talking to somebody here? I'm talking to Bob Wilbar, and we're just carrying on. Bob's carrying on a conversation. He's telling me all about what he does at Lenaway Stamping. And he's going into the whole thing. Well, Pastor, I take this and I do this. And all of a sudden he looks up and I'm... I mean, that's terrible, isn't it? Wouldn't that be bad? You say, "Oh, I do that randomly with people." Well, I can tell you this. I can tell you, don't feel like you're the only one that has fallen asleep praying. We're not going to take a show of hands, but I guarantee if you pray and you pray much, you've fallen asleep praying. Only to wake up and say, "God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'll never..." Paul said, "In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. You understand, when we get to heaven, the old flesh won't be there anymore. And we'll spend time with God, and we'll walk, and we'll talk, and we'll spend time in His Word, and we'll have a relationship like we have never even imagined. But till then, we've got the... Hey, you ever fall asleep during church? I'll never forget down in Bible college. And I mean, Bible college is tough. You know, you got a schedule like you've never experienced before. And I'll never forget my best friend, Brother Ken, the one that was my assistant in Indiana. He was standing, we were meeting in the gym on a Wednesday night service, and he was dying. I mean, he was so tired. And he was standing, they had metal chairs all set up. And this was years and years ago. And literally, he was standing there, and all of a sudden, he fell asleep and fell forward and knocked a bunch of chairs down. And it was one of the funny, I mean, you don't dare laugh because that'd get you demerits. But you say, preacher, how could that? Guys in class, they'd fall asleep, and you'd tell them, hey, it's your turn to pray. You know, wake them up, tell them, and they'd stand up in the middle of class and get demerits. But you say, preacher, that's not right. But it is how we are. It's us. You know, we're in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. It's interesting, in Revelation 3, verse 8, and we studied this way, way back, who knows how many years ago, as we're going through the book of Revelation, Revelation 3, verse 8, it was such an encouraging verse to me. He said, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. He said, I've given you an open door. This is a church in Philadelphia. He said, I've given you an open door, and no man can shut it. But look what he said. For thou hast a little strength. Thou hast a little strength. You know what? Sometimes that's all you got, isn't it? Amen? Amen. You know, I'm already thinking about that carpet out there in that foyer. Several guys suggested the other night, hey, how about a blowtorch? Well, the smoke might be a problem. But he said, you got a little strength. Praise God for the little strength. Amen. Because we have a God who has great strength. And sometimes you say, I just don't think I can make it. But wait. He'll give you a little strength. I've given you an open door. I'm thinking of folks that are going to be in the fair ministry. Oh, we're so excited right now. But even Kathy, by the middle of the week, you know, it's 7 o'clock at night. Well, not usually 7 at night. She's pretty fired up, but it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's kind of quiet. And even Kathy, if it's real hot, you know, it's like, by then, Brother Chase, he's like, you know. But you know, God says, I've given you a little strength. You have a little strength. And you know what? You can make it. In your flesh, you faint. In my flesh, I faint. Number one, in my flesh, I fail. Number two, in my flesh, I faint. Number three, in my flesh, I forget. I don't know of anything more frustrating than just having so much in your brain that you don't even know which way you're going, which way you're coming, going, whatever. Again, I want to remind you, I'm not talking to those who don't care. Okay, there are folks that just don't care. Hey, I want to do my own thing. I'm going to please my flesh. I'm talking to somebody who says, I really want to please God, and I'm frustrated in my flesh. I forget. My mom, of course, most of you know, she died with Alzheimer's disease at a very young age, and I think about that often. And I've got a lot of stuff going on in my life, and sometimes simple things. I just forget. So I've gotten now where I write notes. I write things down. Somebody tells me their name, I try to write it down, and I try to work on it, you know, and just spend a lot of time. I will tell Patty, my secretary, I'll tell her, you need to remind me about this. People think that's funny. Why do you tell your secretary to remind me? I tell Patty to remind me. I tell Misty, remind me about this. I tell Brother Chase, hey, Brother Chase, remind me. I'll tell Tim, you need to remind me. Somebody calls me up, and if I'm busy doing something and I can't write, I'll say, call my phone at the church and leave a message. That's a strange, no. In my flesh, my brain It's like your brain. It's like our bodies. If your hands get brown spots and wrinkle, doesn't your brain? Well, you say, I haven't cut it open and looked at it lately. Well, I'm just saying, we just get a lot on our minds, and it just doesn't work like it used to work. I watch young people, and boy, they just, they've got this down and that down and memorized verses, and I'm always amazed. I watch our young people memorize the Word of God, and there I am struggling with Jesus wept. Yeah, I mean, it's so frustrating. But years ago, but this isn't years ago. And you know what? It's not for you either. And in my flesh, I forget. I daily beg God for wisdom. When I counsel people, I beg God for wisdom to tell them the right thing, to try to help them and guide them. The truth is, our minds, though very amazing, are actually very frail. Does your mind ever wander, like right now? Several men are already thinking about that carpet out there. Oh, I got a strategy. Okay, try to forget that. We prayed, Brother Dale and I. Where is Dale? Oh, there he is. That pole. Oh, I know what you're doing. Sleeping behind the pole. In his flesh, he's weak. But we prayed before, prayed. Don't let us strategize about getting everything moved. And, some guys are looking at the pulpit. Boy, that's going to be heavy. And the Lord's Supper table and moving that. And let us just think about what God wants us to concentrate on today in church and let God speak to our hearts about. But does your mind ever wander? I remember sitting in the gym at college, and I was so excited about learning the Word of God. I was a new Christian, and I'm in Bible college, going to be a preacher, and I was excited about the Word of God. And I'd sit in they had the Wednesday night service, Bible study time, and I love Bible study. It was exciting, and I'd sit there, and there'd be the basketball goal right over the preacher, right where he was standing, and I'd all of a sudden I'm making layups. All of a sudden I'm shooting 3-pointers. Oh, yeah. All of a sudden, I'm dunking. Some of you are Dunkin' Donuts in your mind. Yeah, you knew that was coming, didn't you? But don't you get frustrated? You're reading your Bible, and it's a great passage, and you're excited. It's exactly what you need, and all of a sudden, your mind is totally somewhere completely. Anybody else ever do that? I do it all the time. Isn't that amazing? In my flesh, I forget. My mind used to be so sharp. By the way, do you ever wish you knew all the answers? You ever find yourself, I wish I could tell you. I wish I could tell you why you're sick. I wish I could tell you why your loved one died. I wish I could tell you why you lost your job. I wish I could tell you why you had the tragedy in your family. You ever wish you knew that? One of these days, we will know all things because we'll have the mind. And we do have the mind of Christ now, but our flesh, in my flesh, I forget. Number four, in my flesh, I fear. What a disappointment. Seriously, can you think of anything more disappointing than to fear? To fear. I often think back to the drunk guy that tried to get in our house a couple years ago. And guy on a Friday night, he was walking back from the bar, and he lives on College Avenue, and he came to our house and got on the about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, and he's on our porch making all this racket. And nothing, no husband ever wants to hear his wife say, "Honey, someone's trying to break in." Because I always think, well, what are you going to do? No. But, I mean, honestly, you just don't like to hear that at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. There's no one to pawn that off on. I could have called Tim. Hey, Tim, come deal with this. But he wouldn't answer his phone. And if he called, I wouldn't answer my phone either. I'm just saying, there's nothing. And I'll never forget how terrified as that guy. We had no idea what was going on. We thought this was it. We thought the secret police were coming in to take us out, and the Baptist preacher is going to be hung in the parking lot. I mean, I didn't know. It was the scariest thing. And all this, you know, my wife, she's heading down the stairs. It's like, what are you thinking? You know? But we weren't laughing at the time. I'm on the phone doing, you know, that's really the smart thing. You call the police. But she's heading down, and all of a sudden, boom, there's a kick. That dude tried to kick the door down, and she's back up, you know, hiding behind me. And it's like, but the police came and dealt with it, and I, Brother James, I felt bad. You know, I really felt, it was like, you slime, what are you so afraid of? I was terrified. I'm being honest with you. What are you so afraid of? You know, because when we fear, we're ultimately really not trusting God. But in my flesh, I do fear. You say, well, it's natural, but we're supposed to be spiritual. Amen. Come on, first time I flew, I was terrified. Second time I flew, I was more terrified. I was a Christian. I got out my Bible. And anymore, I do it now. Now I'm not afraid to fly anymore. But I would get out my Bible and start reading. I was sitting by somebody one time. And they said, why are you reading your Bible? I said, well, I'm a preacher. And they said, are you scared? And I said, they said, do you really think it's that bad? And they talked me into being terrified. I was reading my Bible one time on a plane. And a little boy was back there. And we hit turbulence. And we're going, woo. You know how it is. And everybody, you know, the what are they called? Flight attendants. You know, they were in the middle, and they're running into everybody, and we're banging around. And this kid's back there, wee, this is fun. I'm going, shut up. This is not fun. And I get off the plane, and it's like, you are so worthless. You're a preacher. What are you scared of? I don't, because in my flesh I fear. Sometimes we fear. And because we fear, we become impatient. And when we become impatient, we do stupid things. You ever been there? In my flesh, I fear. Look at Mark 4. I'm just about done. Mark 4, verse 35. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. I love this. This is so like us right here. Mark 4:35, the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. It's obvious that's God's will. Jesus said, let's go to the other side. When they sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. There rose a great storm of wind. The waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. I mean, they're going to go down. It's bad. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, now watch this. Isn't this us? Master, carest thou not that we perish? What kind of a dumb question is that? What's the kind we ask all the time? It's what we say by our actions when we're scared. Yeah. Master, carest thou not that we... Can you imagine Jesus... Do you ever just think, why do I just keep letting him down? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased. There was a great calm, always. It's always that way. You say, well, you know, I've never done that in a storm. Storms don't bother me. How about the storms of life? Have you ever said that, Master? Carest thou not? Master? Is he the master or not? Master, carest thou not that I'm suffering? Do you think he does? He does. Yeah, but we are scared. Here's what he said, verse 40. He said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? How pitiful when I doubt him. How silly that we'd say, carest thou not? You ever been there? In my flesh, I fear. In my flesh, I fail. In my flesh, I faint. In my flesh, I forget. In my flesh, I fear. And number 5, in my flesh, I fall. That's the biggest problem. It's the biggest problem. That's why we give invitations all the time here. Amen? It's not just so people can get saved. It's so we can get right. People can get right. Oh, I can do that. Yeah, but you won't. It's so easy to say, oh, I'll do it later, and then the phone rings and you get busy, or the baby throws up, or the dog digs up your flowers, whatever, and you never do what God spoke to you. That's why we give an invitation. We'll always have an altar call here. Not going to cancel it. Not going to move it off somewhere else. We're going to have an altar call. The altar is very important. When we knew we had to move in here, we didn't just put this little red platform here so that the pulpit could be up higher. We added the rest of the platform so we could have an altar. Why? Well, because in our flesh we fall. Every one of us falls. Every child falls. Every teenager falls in our flesh. Verse 19, the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. I don't want to do wrong, but I do wrong. I want to do good, but I don't do good. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And in my flesh, I'm wretched, Paul said in verse 24. I'm a wretched man. The truth is, we fall. I know you're the best Christian in your seat. You're also the worst one in your seat. And the truth is, we fall. Don't compare yourself to other people. Don't compare yourself to your spouse. Don't compare yourself to your parents. Don't compare yourself to your neighbor. Don't compare yourself to anybody. Just say, like Paul did, I know me, and I fall. I fall, and here's the key. Do you get up? Do you get up? Your thoughts of anger, your evil surmising, you're getting offended at every little thing that takes place. How about this? Envy? Covetousness? How about listening to gossip and garbage? How about watching things you ought not watch? Listening to things you ought not listen to? Saying things you ought never even think, let alone say? Huh? How about going places we ought not go? We fall, don't we? Huh? How about when you say, well, I heard about so-and-so, it serves them right. What's wrong with you? We fall. We covet. We get bitter. Do you understand? Please follow me here, and I'm just about done. After an average day, do you understand how filthy it is around you? Average day. Kind of like a group of guys after the carpet was pulled on Tuesday night. I said this in Sunday school, the nursery hallways never smelled as bad as it did. I'm talking about with all the dirty diapers and everything. It was pathetic. Amen? And that, my friend, is us after an average day in my flesh. You say, preacher, I'm not real encouraged by this message. Well, see, here's the thing. I went home and I thought, you know, I could let my wife smell me all night long. And I could just say, woman, tough. This is the smell of a working man. Because I'm a pastor. I don't usually work. But you know, I could also say, as so many do, God, you're just going to have to smell me for a while. Because I've wallowed in filth because of my flesh all day long. My thoughts, my actions, where I went, what I said, what I did, what I heard, what I saw, and what I did. Or I could do what I did the other night, and I hope all these guys did. I took a shower. Amen. And I got clean. Oh, thank God we can get clean. Because in our flesh, we're just plain old dirty. That's what Paul said. We're just dirty. 1 John 2 and verse 1, look at it. 1 John 2 and verse 1. The Bible says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, and if any man sin, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he told us in chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The average day of filth of our flesh, why wouldn't we go to our God and take a spiritual shower and confess? God, I shouldn't have thought what I thought. God, I should not have said what I said. God, you saw what I did. I'm sorry, God. How filthy! How wrong that was, God. Please forgive me, God. Please help me. Amen. As Paul said, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. That's what I want. But my flesh, it's so nasty. And it's so dirty. In Romans 8 and verse 5, it says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. I told you, if you want to do right, you're right in there in Romans chapter 7. But there's a group of folks in our world, Christians, that say, you know what? I just don't care. I want to make me happy. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because a carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you're not saved today, you're not his. You can play religion all you want, but if you've never been saved, you're not his. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. And one day, we're going to be like Jesus. And one day, we're not going to deal with this flesh. You understand one of the greatest things about heaven? Oh, I know. Grandma's there. Grandpa's there. Mom and Dad, they're there. Brenda's dad, he's there. Some of my best friends, they're there. Some people that I've pastored, they're in heaven. Your loved one, they're there. That's a wonderful thing. And we have a mansion in heaven. I'm not talking about an apartment. I'm talking about a mansion in heaven. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place. Isn't that wonderful? But you know, one of the greatest things, we don't even think about it much. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What's that mean? No more flesh. Till then, fight. We are more than conquerors. Tonight I'm going to talk to you about defeating the flesh, and we should. It should be a battle. You say, oh, I've just kind of resigned myself to it. How sad. How sad, because in my flesh I fail. In my flesh, I faint. In my flesh, I forget. In my flesh, I fear. In my flesh, I fall. And I'm not willing to keep living my life doing that. I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight to not be in my flesh, but to be in the Spirit.